The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. We can finally once and for all find out what happened with Judas Priest. Whether they broke up by themselves or they were pushed out by outside forces like the government.
The Boogie Monster. Podcasting the unknown.
We're rolling.
Okay, so yes.
What's up, dude?
Okay, well, as we've learned, 340 hours of podcasts on one SD card might cause it a little trouble.
Man, you got to clean that shit out every now and then.
I guess so. I don't know. You know, I don't know where they're saved. I hope how people listen to them that they're saved in the world, because I don't know where I'm keeping these things. I don't know where they go. I record them. I send them to you. You do a masterful job editing them together.
Mm-hmm.
We've started talking about a sponsor. I guess this isn't the sponsor spot, so we don't have to worry about it. But we're sponsored. But we have a Stitch Fix, we were talking about. But yeah, Rachel doesn't use it. She bought a lot of capes from the store the other day, though.
Oh, she bought a bunch of capes?
Yeah, there's this Netflix documentary about a guy named Walter Mercado, and we only got through half of it the other night, but it's pretty great. This guy, he kind of looks like, he's got like, it's like this mix between Liberace and John Voight. I don't know how to explain, but like he is like a
that's a combo right there.
Yeah, and he's like a psychic on like Hispanic television, and he just, his whole thing is,
oh, okay, and he's that guy. Yeah,
yeah, and it just, so far it's great, and it was, you know, hopefully
he kind of looks like a grandmother. Kind of looks like an old lady.
He's got a lot. It's like a magic eye poster. Like every angle reveals something new. And and he was I don't know, kind of, it was like a feel good kind of thing. So if you know how people need that now, I think maybe watching this thing. It's called Mucho Mucho Amor, The Legend of Walter Mercado.
Okay.
But yeah,
I'll have to check that out.
It was great. But yeah, his whole thing was like big capes and just elaborate outfits, and I was like, all right, so this was fun. But yeah, anyway, so that's, Rachel went shopping the next day and came back with a bunch of capes. So unless Stitch Fix is going to have capes, I don't know how much of a...
What's the proper way to wear a cape? Is that a casual going to the market thing, or is that a wait for you have a black tie affair? Like, what's she going to do with those capes?
Yeah, you're either Dracula, a magician, or crazy. I think if you're in the cape game, you just make it your own.
Yeah.
You know, go. I mean, it's like a cloak. A cloak is also a cape, I'm thinking. Right? It keeps you warm, but you don't have to worry about, you're not messing with sleeves. I think shawl would be in the wildest, same family.
What's the wildest fashion choice you've ever made? I know you rock the Crocs. That's not necessarily
extravagant. I got them on right now, dude.
I'm trying to think. What's something we could add to our wardrobe that's in the cape arena that would be doable? I never think outside the box. I just have a uniform I wear.
You're settled in. Yeah, you don't even change the color. Yeah, I think you've had the same T-shirt since I've known you.
I've got eight or nine of the same shirts. I got the black, the 2X black Carhartt pocket tee, and the army green cargo shorts. I know those are out of fashion, but I like them, so I'm sticking to it.
They'll be back in fashion. With your allegiance to that outfit, it'll come back around before you got to worry about anything, Dave.
I'm impressed that Rachel just decided to get some capes. I'm trying to think What's the equivalent that maybe I could incorporate into my wardrobe?
She's either got very functional outfits of jeans and t-shirts or these elaborate sequined, like, just full, almost Tammy Faye Baker-esque, like, like televangelist outfits. And I like the whole spectrum. It is dazzling and exciting to me.
The only thing that I have recently considered has now been co-opted by dickheads, and I know you in the past have had an affinity for the Hawaiian shirt. I would totally rock a Hawaiian shirt right now if it weren't for those Boogaloo dickheads.
I think we need to not allow Boogaloos to take those things. I think as a representative, you need to go out like, guess what? I am staunchly against these jerks trying to take this away from, as Homer Simpson put it, gay guys and big fat party animals. when Bart was hanging out with the gay guys, he's like, only two types of people wear Hawaiian shirts, gay guys and big fat party animals. And Bart's not a big fat party animal.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
What a bunch of fucking dorks, by the way. What a bunch of dorks.
Lot of them, or did they just get attention? So like just because they get the, you know, squeaky wheel gets the grease, we think that's a problem. But with the internet, it's like, oh, maybe there's only 30 of them, yet they get the news story about them.
Yeah, I don't know. What a stupid choice of names, too. If I understand correctly, they chose Boogaloo based off of Electric Boogaloo, Breakin' 2 Electric Boogaloo, that early 80s movie.
Well, they're the trolls, sequel. Yeah.
But like,
it's a troll. Like, everything's about being a troll now and starting from an inside joke.
You know. But I guess the point being that's number two in the franchise, meaning we're going to have a second. They're promoting a second Civil War. But why Boogaloo? Like, of all the movies, of all the sequels, why? I don't understand why they chose that obscure, movie that has nothing to do with
it. It's all about being a troll and doing something that's inside. Yeah. Like, this is our little inside stuff. Everything's a conspiracy theory now. Everything's a code word. Mm-hmm. Everything's a conspiracy. Everything's got to have a symbol to it. And it's like, maybe it's not that. I don't, like I was saying before, it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
It was fun. And now it's like the Wayfair thing. I'm like, oh, the Wayfair is selling kids.
Now,
that's how, that really.
What's going on with that?
That's what I understand.
You've been following that?
I tried. I was like, there's no fucking way. Why, if you are a child human trafficker, not meaning you're a child who's gotten into the game of human trafficking.
That'd be weird.
Although, wasn't that part of the plot of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom? Wasn't the one little kid emperor part of the... Really? You don't watch Indiana Jones?
Joneses? We talked about that. I've never seen those movies. Never seen them.
I forgot about this. Then that still upsets me. I think.
Yeah, and I'm going to correct that. I just haven't gotten around to
it. You should. We started to watch Lord of the Rings last night, two nights ago. I don't know. Uh-huh. We're smoking a lot of pot up here now. But, man, I love Indiana Jones. I don't know why I can't get into the fantasy realm of, like, Lord of the Rings.
Hmm. See, I have seen those, and I enjoyed those. And fantasy is not typically my go-to genre, but when those came out, whenever that was, 15, 20 years ago, I watched them all, and yeah, it's good times.
I thought I was like in the whatever zone you're supposed to be in, which is high as shit in a lawn chair that happens to be on the inside of your home at the moment, because that's what we're working with for furniture. And
nothing wrong with that.
Watching, you know what it is? When you've learned about something only through hack comedy references, that it's hard to enjoy the source material.
Okay. That's a good point.
You know, it's like, I bet all these Star Wars movies are good, but mm-hmm. this flood of nerd jizz that's been all over the internet for years has drowned out any desire to see the movies.
Oh. the streets will flow.
Oh, God.
Rivers of nerges.
Oh, yeah.
Ugh, gross.
Oh, yeah. Like how I can't enjoy it because it's just been every meme and everything. Like, like I can't. There's no way for me to, like, it's like having a, you know, a jury trial in the town that the murder took place. I can't approach this with an unbiased attitude. So if I
gotta move it out to Simi Valley.
It's gotta be out there. Oh, speaking of Simi Valley, video came on today that I saw. It was in Santa Clarita, which is known for Six Flags, Magic Mountains. Did you see that with the guy with nine line? Patriot. It's like, yeah. This isn't on the brand, but it's like, you know, like when you see somebody with a certain brand on, you're like, I can guess what this guy's going to be like. And this guy challenged expectations. Not at all. Nine Line is like they're like called Unrelenting Patriot Clothing or I don't know. Ugh. But he had that t-shirt on, flip flops and a pair of shorts with the fly all the way down. Like he tried to open up as far. Yeah. Harassing one of the street fruit vendors.
Oh, man.
Which if you're in LA, you're familiar. If not, there's always like little push carts on the street corner that they sell a bunch of fresh fruit chopped up.
It's delicious.
In a bag with like hot.
With spice.
Yeah, hot, like spicy powder on it.
Yeah, a little chili powder, a little hot sauce.
Chili powder and hot sauce, which I never thought of, and it is excellent. Mm-hmm. I implore anyone. Like, you always see it, and you're like, I'm not going to stop. Stop and get some. Ooh, what a treat on a hot day. But yeah, this guy was just harassing him, saying, this looks like shit. This isn't Pacoima out here. Like, basically saying that the street fruit vendors made the area look like shit and made the area look like ghetto. This guy is a bar owner of a place called Burgie's Bar in Santa Clarita. So it's a shame if that place got bad press throughout this. But telling somebody that what they're doing looks like shit while you're just in flip-flops with your fly down is choice.
Yes. Speaking of trolls, and violence is never the answer. But in that scenario, if I was that street vendor, I'd be like, hey, man, if you don't leave, I'm going to punch you in the fucking nose. You got two choices.
No.
You could stay and get punched in the nose, or you can fucking leave me alone. Well, like that guy, the vendor's just minding his own business, trying to make a living, and just apropos of nothing, hey, I'm going to come over here and fuck with you for no reason.
Well, what's
what a piece of shit.
I think it's better that he didn't do that and played it cool, because now everybody knows who these people are. There's absolutely no sympathy to dole out to them because there was no violence against them or anything. It was just like, hey, oh, you want to be a piece of shit? Well, I'm going to tape you. I'm going to put you online. Yeah. And, oh, you have something to lose. Here's a business that you own that now everybody knows that you are. Granted, who knows? Maybe it'll succeed because I don't know what the climate is in Santa Clarita. It seems like that's the kind of area you get out that way and it gets a little bit. I think I was doing a gig out there and I was like, I saw just a car with a swastika painted on it. Like, oh, you could still just have that out there.
Really?
You could still just
be. What's that? About an hour north of LA.
Santa Clarita. Yeah. That's where like Santa Clarita Valley is like, Six Flags, like Magic Mountain and stuff getting out that way.
Mm-hmm. But what is going on? Is it that old thing where it's not happening more? We're just capturing it on video more. Like, what is going on with white people stirring shit up in public? And I know that was a dude, but more, I'm specifically white women. What is with all the white women?
Well, like,
the one thing about that's all this resurgence of social, I don't know what the proper term was, social awareness maybe, but ever since, you know, the George Floyd thing, it just seems like the racist cream is rising to the top. Like every day there's a new viral video of some white dickhead causing trouble. And I have a theory, and I know I got to be careful because it's going to make me sound a little sexist, but the evidence is there on video. I think a lot of these white women, are throwing temper tantrums because they don't want to wear a mask in Target or Starbucks. I think this is an epidemic of white women never hearing the word no until now. I'm a privileged white woman No one's told me no my whole life, and now this guy's telling me no, I can't come into Target because I'm not wearing a mask, and I'm going to throw a temper tantrum like a little baby.
But
what the fuck is going on with these assholes?
I mean, I will say I think beware of the narrative that you're expected to follow. Like, I think, well, that those are the stories that I'm going to get the most traction because it's what is on everybody's mind. Calling somebody a Karen, which mm-hmm. is like, oh, when the general public gets a hold of like a hack bit that that mm-hmm. as a comedian, that bothers me. Get a load of this Karen. Yeah. It's like, oh God, it's like you're doing an Austin Powers voice. That's all I hear. Like, yeah, baby. Ooh, my wife. Like, oh fuck. Now we all got a punchline to use by calling somebody a Karen. But there's plenty of videos out there.
Mm-hmm.
With people of other genders and other colors starting the same shit. But they
are there. I haven't seen videos.
There was that video last
brown
week
and black
of like
people.
The
not
black ladies harassing the couple, like the couple that pulled guns out. They're in the minivan and pulled guns mm-hmm. out on somebody.
Yeah, I don't know the origin of that story. I saw the reaction. I saw the white lady pulling the gun out. How did that start?
Not the St. Louis one. The people that were just in a van in the parking lot. And then you see the whole video, and it was like this. There's a family of black people, like harassing them. And then the woman in the van being like, listen, I'm sorry. It was like an altercation. She's like, well, you're racist. Like, the woman saying, I said nothing. You can't just say that I'm racist to get it on video. That doesn't uh-huh. work. And, you know, and again, I still don't know the full story because you're only seeing these short clips. Mm-hmm. But it really looked like this family was now surrounding, this family of black people was surrounding a van with a couple white people in it, not letting them leave a parking lot, saying, like, you hit me. It's like you jumped in front of the van. Now that you're angry at me, you won't let us leave. And so they went and pulled out guns to be like, get the fuck away from me. We're leaving this parking lot. We're not like. But if you only saw the clip that was at the end of them with the guns pointed mm-hmm. at the bug, why are you pulling a gun on me? This is right. You only see that and you make a judgment off that.
Mm-hmm.
Even yeah. that, I mean, I even retweeted this story with this jerk yelling at the street food vendors. And after I did, I'm like, you know what? I don't know what happened before this video started.
True. Yeah, true.
I don't know. I don't know if something was said or something was done. Where this guy was like, all right, you know what? I will say something. But it's like, oh no, this guy said plenty of racist shit just in the same, in the, what I saw that I felt okay being like, hey, yeah, fuck this guy. I'll retweet mm-hmm. this and say, fuck this guy. Cause this guy is clearly just being like, this looks like trash. This isn't Pacoima, like calling out a more predominantly Hispanic area of Los Angeles. Like, oh, you're just being, you're just being racist. Okay. Yeah. I don't have a problem mm-hmm. with it. But, I think if depending on what your news sources that you go to, a friend was sharing something that he thought would be of interest, but then his news source was like this very right-wing place. I'm like, well, if you're going to call that news, I'm going to send you articles from the Huffington Post and call that news, mm-hmm. which I would never because yeah. That's a biased news source. Every news source is biased now.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say like that's where I'm getting suspect is like, oh, how much of this narrative of like, look at all these Karens are just getting out of control. Or is that just the popular thing to click on now?
Well, I just know I've seen dozens of videos. The ones that I don't necessarily need to see the beginning of the film is the ones that, the people who are being denied access or denied entry into stores because they're not wearing a mask.
Oh yeah.
Like that's a pretty cut and dry narrative there. And just seeing so many videos of people just throwing little temper tantrums because they don't want to wear, hey, fine, you don't have to wear a mask, but this is a private business and you're not allowed in here. Get the fuck out of here. Go not wear a mask somewhere else, but you can't do it here.
Yeah, I don't understand the juvenile like cards that are made like you restricting my freedom to breathe and so therefore I have constitutional obligation to not wear a mask. Like this is like a kid writing on a note card like you can't ground me because this is an official document, mom and dad. Like
mm-hmm.
the utter lack of intellectualism that is happening mm-hmm. now Like, this will work. Look at this laminate card that I made. Like, are you fucking kidding me? You fucking petulant children. And also, like,
it's insane.
I mean, yeah, I don't even know if I could waste more breath talking about, like, just look at the results of the places that opened too early and that everybody's getting sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, if you want it, if you have that card that says, I don't want to wear a mask, you better, again, I like the card that said, well, then you have to also carry a card that says, I deny treatment for any COVID-related symptoms.
Yeah.
You don't get to use a hospital. You don't get to take up space. No.
Well, and I love the narrative that's being pushed now of, you know, anybody wearing a mask is a sheep. It's like, do you really think that 130,000 people haven't died in America? Do they think that that's a hoax? Do they think that these numbers are just fabricated and that people aren't dying? I don't understand that mindset.
Well, and
like, fuck that. I mean, just this week, did you see the guy, the 37-year-old dude who unfortunately died from COVID, and then they dug into his social media, and he's, for the last 3 months, he's been posting how he refuses to wear a mask, and it's a hoax.
Yeah,
and now he's dead, and that sucks. But, like, do those people think that this is – do people legitimately think that this is a hoax?
Yes, that's the problem.
That's insane.
That's why Americans can't travel places now. Because
what the fuck?
We're dumb. And this is coming from two guys who try and fail to believe in Bigfoot. And we're calling you dumb. All right?
Yeah.
Get your.
Yeah, how dumb do you have to be for us to call you dumb?
Very, very dumb. To be so confidently uneducated.
Well, did you see what President Dipshit tweeted today? He basically retweeted Chuck Woolery, who basically said this is all a hoax, and then Trump retweeted that. So you're signing off on this as being a hoax, you fucking moron.
Of course,
that's our leader. And again, like I've said in the past, I know it's redundant to point out every stupid thing Trump does, but we can't let this, we can't normalize his retardation.
Well, what?
Like, it has to be pointed out.
What's the,
this is not okay.
What's the escalation of, like, a sheep wearing, like, what do they think is next if we're just going to wear the masks? Like, what's the control that they think is happening?
Oh, they think, there's that one meme where you, if you're wearing a mask, you'll wear a burqa. Like, this is the next step in the evolution. First, it's a mask, and then it's a burqa, and then it's Sharia law. Okay. Great, great point, you fucking idiot. I mean, it's comical. It's ridiculous. And listen, I'm not... I mean, I don't trust my government. I don't believe everything that my government tells me to do. But some of these people legitimately think that this entire thing is a hoax, that people aren't dying by the thousands. I just don't understand that.
I mean, I think some people feel like, well, it's people are going to get sick and people die because that's how life works. But... You know, like the flu kills a lot of people, but yeah, we know about the flu. There's flu shots. We know symptoms. Mm-hmm, we know how to at least have an idea how to treat the flu. We don't have any idea how to treat this. Nobody, that's what people don't, like, we don't know how to handle it. So the bigger it gets, we still have no way to handle it. I don't know if I can waste breath on this anymore. It's the same way I feel about the anti-vax kids. If you don't want to vaccinate your kid, you probably passed along whatever stupidity that was in you onto your child. So if your fucking dead apple doesn't fall far from your stupid tree, I don't care. Don't wear a mask. I don't give a fuck. Don't wear a mask. Go to fucking Buffalo Wild Wings and spit in each other's mouths. And then... Just go fucking Just go drop dead somewhere. I don't give a shit. Fine. You're right. You're the best American. You're the best mm-hmm. American, and we'll make sure that you get a casket wrap of an American flag for being the best American.
Speaking of which.
I don't know. Speaking of which.
I saw your post on the casket wraps.
Dude, I'm still obsessed with casket wraps. I found the website, expressioncoffin.com. You can upload
like
your
own.
I
like the one that you chose.
Yeah, I got the ZZ Top down the side. I got some hot butts on top. I wrote Never Forget on there. They wouldn't let me pick the font, though, so the font's a little basic.
It's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Oh man, what a
I don't even have like something funny to say about it. Like I feel like every joke towards this scenario has been done, you know what I mean? Like I don't even know how to like laugh. Like I was at Costco here and mother and daughter. I hate it when the kid, you see like the little kids like Trump, like you, oh God, your parents are proud of you for this fucking ridiculous shit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, I just, anytime I see a little kid with some sort of political thing, like I understand like explaining to them again, like don't indoctrinate, like let a kid make up their mind. Even if it's something I want to agree with, but it's like a 7-year-old, like let him find out. But yeah, with the they had their masks on, but it's a Trump 2020 on it. I'm like, good. Hey, you're wearing the mask. Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care.
Yeah,
I don't care. Like, if you fine, boy, well, you're sticking it to me. Look at you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they don't know that they're laughable.
Mm-hmm.
It's a level of unawareness that is just wild to me. But anyway, what are you going to do? I'm going to go buy some kids off
Wayfair. It's unbelievable.
Got to buy a new laundry basket and three Laotian boys off of this furniture website that is apparently selling people.
So what's going on with that? Have you looked into the Wayfair thing?
I did for a minute and then only had to get as far as... whatever woman they're like, see, she's being sold on here. And the woman made her own video of like, that's my picture. I'm not being sold on a furniture website. And just the idea that anybody would. Like, there's always just enough for me to be like, interesting. As far as the whole child sex ring and all the things people tie into it. Like the one I heard recently was like the singer from Linkin Park was going to report about it, and so is Chris Cornell, and then they died from mysterious suicide so close to one another. And like, all right, you know what, I'll go along for the ride of like there's this child sex cabal happening, and see, like it's more interesting to see what people come up with to try and make it true. And like there's a design, like what is it, like the swirl design that shows up and stuff that was
swirl within inside the triangle.
Swirl in a triangle. That, you know what? And it's important to always not, hey, if I'm doing something that's incredibly heinous, I better tip my hat at it. Commercial websites and motion pictures. If I'm up to something so reprehensible as child sex trafficking, I better wink at people as often as I can.
Mm-hmm.
About it. That part got me. Like, oh, okay, so you're a billionaire and you can purchase human lives for your own sexual demonic gratification. I better do it openly on a website that sells furniture. That's okay. Let's look. I'm on the Wayfair website right now. Let's look up children.
Let's
see if I can buy any.
Speaking of the Lincoln.
No children.
The Lincoln Park angle.
No children for sale.
The Wayfair. What was his name? Chester Bennington?
Yeah.
Lincoln Park guy. Mm-hmm. Someone sent me this angle, and I haven't really looked into it other than just seeing the pictures. And I don't know how this ties together with the pedophilia, but mm-hmm. we've talked in the past about John Podesta, Hillary Clinton's former campaign manager,
yeah,
who was kind of in the middle of the Pizzagate thing. There's a rumor going around that he is the biological father of Chester Bennington. And if you look at the pictures.
I did see that one, yeah.
I mean, they look alike. The same way, I don't know if we've talked about this. This isn't related to pedophilia, but just talking about biological fathers. Justin Trudeau, Prime Minister of Canada, he's rumored to be the biological son of Fidel Castro. And boy, do they look alike.
Really?
Yeah, if you look up Justin Trudeau and a young Fidel Castro, they look a lot alike. Okay, and okay. I don't know what the connection is, but John Podesta and Chester Bennington do favor. And I don't, you know, John Podesta obviously at the heart of that Pizzagate mm-hmm. pedophilia scandal. And maybe Chester, you know, knew that his biological father was John Podesta, and then he had motivation to out this pedophilia ring. I don't know, but they favor. That's all I'm saying. You know, I don't know where that goes from there, but it's interesting, if nothing else.
Yeah, that's where, like, there's always enough to make it like, all right, I'll read a little bit further. And then it's mm-hmm. the side stories about, like, okay, the biggest flag of this whole thing was like Epstein getting like, oh, you know, he killed himself. And it's like, everybody's like, no, fuck that. Not a chance. And now the one is like, wait until Ghislaine Matthews Maxwell. Like, let's see if she gets to see the light of day. Like, the one that I heard was like, oh, it's going to be weird when she gets COVID and is on a respirator and doesn't make it. Like,
yeah.
So that's going to be the interesting one. But, you know, the story, like, one that we can go into is, like, I think we talked about Gary Webb before, who was the guy who kind of talked about, there's the CIA putting crack cocaine into America's ghettos and that mm-hmm. whole thing. And he exposed that story and then basically got pushed out of his whole career and then committed suicide by shooting himself in the head twice. So
that's hard to do.
There are definitely enough doubt mm-hmm. for me, like, oh, fuck, man. All right, I gotta give some allowance to some of these theories. Except again, like, if the disinformation campaign is to have people on Reddit go, see, man, here's the swirl. And it's in ice cream, and kids love ice cream, and the fudge is in a swirl on the ice cream. So that means that Baskin-Robbins is in the fucking kid. I'm like, oh, Jesus Christ. Like, you have done a great job by pushing away anybody with common sense from wanting to explore these ideas.
Yeah. But, man, some of these suicides, like, in all walks, you know, in multiple scenarios, even we talked about Phil Schneider. I mean, the guy who got in a gunfight with an alien. Anybody who has info or is gonna spill some beans who winds up killing themselves. I mean, that dude, that was ruled a suicide. But anyway, that's just one example. But my point is, nowadays, anybody who might have some beans to spill who winds up suicided is worth looking into. And I don't know anything about the Chester Bennington thing or the Chris Cornell thing, but I mean, yeah, like you said, the Epstein thing kicked the door down for all of those theories, because that's the one that even the most skeptical people are like, Yeah, it doesn't look like he killed himself.
Or even if it was just allowed. Even if he did kill himself, but it was basically like, hey, man, do you want to get murdered or do you want to do this on your own time?
Mm-hmm.
Like, even if it was ultimatum type stuff, that's still like, yeah, this guy's got plenty of dirt on everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I do. I mean, you got like a nutcase like Corey Feldman. Keeps trying, like, I'm going to expose all this horrible stuff. And again, it's like, yeah, that guy's an easy punchline. You know, with his Corey's Angels and all his goofy shit. But then you're like, oh, yeah, you were a prominent child actor in the 80s and got, you know, knew all these people. God, all right, maybe it's real. Maybe it's a fucking real thing.
Well, and speaking
not funny,
of suicides,
hard to make any about jokes about this.
Yeah, we hadn't talked about this, but you know, all the in the last month, what, 6, 7, 8 different black people hanging themselves in public in trees ruled as suicides. Like, again, let me preface, I have done no research. I don't know the details of any of those cases, but some of that just seems a little fishy, does it not?
Well, I don't know if the internet's making things better or clouding, like muddying the waters. Like the gal that went that disappeared up at Lake Piru last week. She's like an actress, and she apparently went
they
swimming.
Foundered.
Yeah, and I see a clip today. Like internet sleuths think that she may have been kidnapped, and the only evidence they have for internet sleuths to do that, and then whatever this news website was to even give that case, is like, oh, she looked like she parked her car in a hurry, like she was being followed. Or maybe an actress with a giant Mercedes SUV is a shitty driver, because I've seen that a lot more often than I've seen, like, well, you know, the reason somebody parked lousy in a big, dumb SUV is definitely because they're being followed, not because they're just fucking oblivious to how big their vehicle is and they're in an open parking lot where they didn't have to like weasel, like move in between cars. So that little seed, then people start to run with that. And then somebody reads that headline. Just like, I don't know, man, what, let's talk about a different thing. I do think without the research, and I saw, you know, there's another, so many comedians are now lending themselves to the conspiracy world where, it's just in there, you know, not so much like what we're doing, but like really leaning in like, huh, true. And, you know, that's my job to sit here and be like, fucking no, it's not. But I can like some of the stuff I got to be like, I can't quickly dismiss it.
Well, here's, we haven't talked about this yet. I don't know if this happened before we recorded last week or not, but did you see the story out of Indiana where the apparently there was an attempted lynching? Did you see that?
No.
There's these redneck dudes out in the woods. It's happened 4th of July.
Yeah.
And it was all over the internet about a week ago. But if you haven't seen it, then, you know, what good is it to talk about? I was going to bounce it off of you. But this black dude and his buddies were out on some, I don't know if it was private land or public land or anyway, 4th of July, they're out by the lake doing some stuff. And they run into 3 or 4 good old boys, old shirtless rednecks, drunk rednecks. And the whole story was it was an attempted lynching. And let me preface this by saying I'm not discounting, I'm not saying that this didn't happen, but I did look at every video. There's 3 or 4 different videos from 3 or 4 different cameras. And I just, never did I see evidence that they tried to lynch this black dude. I mean, they were clearly racist and assholes. You know, there was a confrontation. I don't know if it actually got violent. Well, there is one video where they've got like the dude doubled over in a headlock.
Yeah.
But my point is just, I don't know if that's disinformation or just the media running with a story. But apparently this black dude and his buddies got into a confrontation with some rednecks. And there is video of them like holding the guy. They got him in a headlock or something. But I looked at every video multiple times, and I just couldn't find where someone said, get a rope or let's lynch him. Or But just an example of how, and again, I'm not saying that didn't happen. Please don't interpret this as me defending the drunk rednecks. I'm just saying it immediately was attempted lynching in Indiana.
Did he try? Did he bring salsa that was made in New York City? Because I know that's also
that justifies
lynching according to their advertising.
Yeah, we're gonna murder a guy.
Get a rope
because of the salsa.
Oh my god!
But yeah, gee, take it easy. But no, seriously, if anybody, feel free to send an email, let us know. But I really want to know what happened in that story. But all the headlines, the title of every video was attempted lynching, but I just couldn't find where it looked like a lynching. It just looked like a conflict between some people and some drunk racists. And then, make no mistake about it, these guys were hurling racial slurs, and they were aggressive, and you could tell, you know, he was calling him a nappy-headed bitch and this and that. So, like, these guys definitely weren't there to make friends, but I really looked into that story, and I just couldn't find where it was an attempted lynching. So I don't know if that's just a case, another example of, like, sensationalizing an incident, making it worse than it really was, or if it really did happen, like how awful, you know, I mean, if it's legit, like in 2020 on 4th of July, these guys are going to lynch and hang a black dude. Like, if that's legit, that's terrible. My point is, I could not find the evidence where that looked like a legit lynching attempt. You should look into that. It's pretty interesting.
I started to find that one cool because it reminded me of another thing that happened in Indiana where a woman got shot. Where they keep the headline. This is the one headline I found. It's from, unfortunately, it's Fox News. But it's Indiana woman shot, killed after argument with Black Lives Matter supporters, family says. So as much as like, all right, now all the Black Lives Matter support, now you're going to get the Black Lives Matter backlash. And so this was just 3 a.m, people walking along a river walk, and the allegation was somebody yelled Black Lives Matter and somebody else yelled All Lives Matter, and then there was a shooting. So the fact that somebody said Black Lives Matter, just said the words, now they're going to associate Black Lives Matter movement with violence towards this woman. That's ridiculous. That's like saying Slayer, somebody yelled out Slayer. And like, well, you know, Slayer fan responsible for murder of like, they said a thing and they're going to tie him to that move. Like, I think that's ridiculous. And then, this method, this kind of shit's used on both sides of the fence. Don't get me wrong. It's not like, oh, can you believe Fox? Both sides of the fence will use it. I guess I read this headline because it was on one of the right wing news sites that my friend sent me. Whereas, like, I'm sure it would be rewritten in a different way on a Huffington Post website, and just the importance of looking at a story that you're interested in, read how it's reported from both sides of the aisle and see which facts actually line up with both methods of reporting, because then maybe there is just some way to get truth out of what you might be saying. Anyway, damn it, I don't, come on, we're going to talk about ghosts. You want to talk about ghosts?
We can talk about ghosts,
Dave,
if you want to.
Talk about some ghosts or something. I got stung by a bee the other day. I haven't been
stung by
a bee in so long.
Really?
Yeah. I looked at it. I was out in the bushes trying to fix a fence because I'm suburban now. And all of a sudden, I was like, oh, something's like getting me in the back. I thought it was like a thorn bee. And then bee, there's...
Did you swell up?
Nah, but I've been itchy for 2 days. But I felt bad because, like, you know, they die. They the whole thing is like, oh, the bees are dying, and then there's this bee with a stinger in me. I'm like, well, you fucked yourself.
I hung up
on
him.
There we go.
Sorry about that, buddy.
There he is. That's all right. I was reading to the listeners about that the bee does. Yeah, it pulls it. It stings you, but then its guts come out, which I didn't see. I didn't see the stinger afterwards.
So it stung you in the back?
Oh, no, by the back of my calf. It was in my calf.
Oh.
And there was another one. I don't know if I walked through a beehive or something, but I haven't been stung by a bee in decades.
Yeah, it's been a while for me.
I think you get to a point in your life where you're afraid of bees because you learn about bees and you get stung by a bee. And then eventually you're like, bees aren't, mm-hmm. what's wrong with bees? They're fine. They don't bother me.
Nah. And, I used to get stung all the time when I was landscaping, but I haven't had no beef with bees in a while.
They're rustling around in their home. That's how I got stung. I was rustling around in their home.
Before we get into some ghosts, I got to talk barbecue real quick.
Okay. You may, man.
You know what I did this week?
As much your show as it is mine.
And I'm sure this has been done. I'm not taking credit for this, but I did what I call some redneck charcuterie this week. Okay. I smoked a pork shoulder.
Okay.
Got a nice pork shoulder. Smoked it about 10 hours over hickory wood.
I think you sent me pictures of that one.
I might have.
You sent me pictures. Knowing I don't eat meat, it's like, guess who's fucking your girl now? Like, that's what I feel about these pictures. Oh, your girl with a new man now, Kyle. Look at this. It's just a picture of a pork shoulder. I'm like, you son of a bitch.
You're my barbecue cook.
I am. Barber-cooked.
I've been barber-cooked. I smoked the whole pork shoulder, and instead of turning it into pulled pork, I showed some restraint, and I didn't eat it immediately. I stuck it in the fridge, and then the next day, I took that giant, cold, smoky pork shoulder, mm-hmm. and I sliced it razor thin, and I had some redneck charcuterie.
Did you make Arby's at home again, Dave?
I made Arby's at home again.
Did you go make homemade Arby's again, Dave?
Oh my God, dude. It was so good. And then I made a sandwich out of it, like cold, thin sliced pork shoulder on a sandwich. Fuck you. So good.
You never go with a straight out fuck you about a flavor, so I can tell it was good.
Dude, it was so good. And it was a big week over here for barbecue. Also, earlier in the week, I got a 16-pound brisket.
Jesus Christ.
I smoked the shit out of that. I smoked that thing for like 18 hours.
That's the weight of two babies you could buy on Wayfair right now.
I found a meat wholesaler over here in Long Beach. And went and got a 16-pounder. That's a little too big for a brisket to smoke. I prefer like a 9 or 10 pounder, but that's all they had. Mm-hmm. And smoked a 16-pound brisket. And not patting myself on the back here, but I had way too much, and I didn't want it to go to waste. I made up some nice little to-go bags. I got some grocery bags and Tupperware, and I had my homemade sauce.
Anybody eating 16 pounds of brisket doesn't have the physical capabilities of patting themselves on the back, Dave. Don't worry about it.
I made three or four little to-go baskets, and I took them over to the 7-Eleven and fed the local homeless people
Look who's a guy over here.
That's right, man.
Look at this gentleman.
There's no way I was just... I'm not going to be, and I gave some to the neighbors. Oh, I'm real popular in the neighborhood now. The neighbors are getting free brisket. The homeless people are getting free brisket. It's I'm just spreading the love.
Well, I was going to say with like an enclosed area, being like in apartments, but then you're smoking food. Like we got the fire pit here, and I'm always worried about the neighbors. I'm like, is it going in your house or anything? But if you're making delicious food, and the neighbors can just see you making it, there's always going to be mm-hmm. like, hey, what's going on there, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. No, I fed about four different neighbors. I fed some homeless people, and it gave me an idea. And this isn't me virtue signaling, mm-hmm. But this is literally something I would like to do one day. If ever I was in a position where I could pull this off, and I don't have to worry about money or whatever. This sounds silly, but I'm serious about this. I would love to start a little charity to where I just make barbecue for homeless people. And the reason being is obviously I've always had a soft spot in my heart for homeless people, but you know, obviously homeless people, you know, they need to be fed. Yeah. But I was thinking about this, and this might sound trivial or silly, but when you think of homeless people, you just think, okay, let's just feed them whatever. Mm-hmm. You know, these poor folks, you know, most of the time they're literally eating trash.
Yeah.
I would love to just brighten a homeless person's day with incredible barbecue, because if you're homeless, you're just trying to get sustenance. You're trying to eat whatever you can. But homeless people don't get to have top end food. You know, when's the last time a homeless person got like gourmet food?
Well,
and I think that would be a cool thing to do. And I've gone on record saying this before. I want to get into the food business without the pressure of trying to turn a profit. Like, I've always wanted a food truck or a restaurant, but that is hard work and it's risky financially. I would love to cook without the pressure of turning a profit.
I mean, I think outside, okay, the homeless thing is already just incredibly kind, and to want to do that. Of course. And you know, as we said on this podcast, if things get to open back up, like any food that goes to waste, that's a thing that upsets me beyond belief. Is throwing out any kind of food or seeing a food like, I don't like it, something. If you live in a city, there's somebody that would be happy to have that food.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate the bullshit argument when people are like, like the hack comedy jokes, like, I'm trying to give a homeless guy food. He's like, is it vegan or something? It's like, yeah, you know why? It's because they want to make sure things aren't going to go bad or something might keep. Or what if they do have allergies or something? Mm-hmm. We're having the shits is a big, much mm-hmm. bigger problem when you live under a bridge. So they have to worry about that kind of thing. But we've said that before, and we know about that. But you live, like your place, like you said, you got a couple bars like right on the corner there.
Mm-hmm.
Man, is your grill a plug-in?
Yeah, I
did not realize the Traeger grills were plugged in, but so you're.
Yeah, that's kind of the whole point of it. It's electric.
But for you to like just kind of post up, like I'm, you know, mm-hmm. speaking in terms of the world writes itself, which maybe not in America. So, but if things go back to normal, you can just be out there grilling, much like the Dodger dog, the Mexican street dogs, folks. That line Sunset Boulevard over in Echo Park at mm-hmm. night. But you get out there going like, hey, man, here's my donation bucket. I'm trying out a new recipe. Mm-hmm. Dave's Friday night. You call Dave's Friday night. But Dave's trying a new thing. He doesn't have a lot of it, so get there early. Here's my donation bucket.
Yeah.
I made 10 servings, 10 of these tacos that I'm trying out or something.
Mm-hmm. No, I've seriously thought about that, especially now that, you know, a big chunk of my income is gone and I can't tour.
Yeah.
I've seriously thought about setting up a little pop-up or something. I've thought about that just for my own profit. And then that got me thinking when I was giving it to those homeless dudes the other day, I just thought, I don't know, just the concept of, like I said, I know homeless people, you know, they need to eat whatever they can eat, but like to just give them not only sustenance, but a little extra, like a little joy of like, holy shit, when's the last time a homeless guy had an incredible rack of ribs?
Well, you know? I also felt bad. At least I know your cooking would work, but I hate that I made this comparison, but we've been feeding this stray cat here and we had hard food at first. I'm like, oh, he's got nothing but loose nuggets in that mouth. He needs some soft food. We can't be giving him anything challenging. So at least I know your barbecue is good enough that it falls off the bone, that it wouldn't be a challenge for the people with struggling with dental issues.
It was weird. Like when I approached these guys, they were very skeptical, you know, and it's sad to see somebody skeptical of someone trying to do something nice. But, you know, I'm sure they deal with so many rude or mean people. But I was like, hey, man, the first guy I approached, he was hanging out. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? He goes, oh, man, I'm just trying to get something to eat, man. Mm-hmm. And I go, funny you should say that.
Yeah.
Because I got some extra. I said, and he looked at me weird. I was like, hey, man, I'm being serious. You know, I just got extra barbecue here. It's really good. I don't want it to go to waste. And I thought some of you guys could use this. And, you know, once he realized that I wasn't fucking with him, he was like, oh, well, yeah, man, sure, yeah. And, I had him, like, about a pound of sliced brisket. I made a bunch of homemade sauce. I put it in a little sandwich bag full of sauce. I gave him a couple slices of white bread and some spicy pickles.
Oh.
And, man, these guys were hooked up, dude. But, not patting myself on the dick, not virtue signaling, but I would love that. I mean, that would just be fun. Like, all day I just cook barbecue, and I give it to people who need it.
Huh?
Like, that would be a sweet gig for me.
Volunteering at a shelter or something? Sadly, I think a lot of this suspicion also comes from, like, oh, is somebody trying to poison us, you know?
Yeah, like, exactly. You know, and I even told him that. I said, dude, I'm not trying to fuck with you. This stuff's clean.
Watch, I'll eat it. I'll eat it in front of you. And then it's like all gone in 30 seconds. Like, oh, shit, I did it. I did it again. I'm so sorry, guys. It's that good.
Oh, man. But yeah, I had fun with that. Oh, dude. And then with that brisket. You have to trim the brisket. There's so much fat on a brisket. Mm-hmm. So it started off at about 16 pounds, and then I trimmed about 3 pounds of fat off of it. But I took that 3 pounds of fat, and I boiled it down, and I made my own beef tallow. You know about beef tallow? It's just rendered beef fat.
I know, what,
oh boy!
I know the term, but what do you use it for? Cooking other stuff, or what do you do with it?
Yeah. It's just a cooking fat, just like a olive oil or butter or lard. It's just another animal fat that you can cook with. Okay. And yeah, man, I haven't used it yet, but I'm going to do some burgers this week, and I'm going to cook the burgers in a little beef tallow and then toast the buns in some beef tallow. And it just, it gives whatever you're cooking a nice beef flavor. You know, same way you would use bacon grease or, you know, lard or butter or anything, just beef tallow. It's just rendered beef fat. But I, you know, you're paying for that, you know, I trimmed 3 pounds off of it, and I'm still paying for those 3 pounds. So I rendered it down, just threw it in a big pot, stock pot, and boiled it down for about 2 hours, and then strained it, and ooh, got a big old quart jar full of beef tallow that I can't wait to use. That's what I've been doing.
Your
this
food
week.
Truck should also be an ambulance. you call it the hambulance, and it's nothing but barbecue. But also, there's a registered nurse for the inevitable cardiac arrest that does happen.
Oh God. That's too good. The ambulance.
I mean, I'm the idea man. You're the guy who makes it happen. Yeah. I do the marketing. I handle the marketing for it.
Oh my God.
But I think
God,
if you post it up out in front, we're just making snacks for the neighbors and getting word out and just being like, hey, if you got want to part with a couple bucks for it, I'd appreciate it. Become a Long mm-hmm. Beach staple.
Yeah. Yeah. I've already thought about the logistics of it, like just right here in front of my spot, just right here on the sidewalk, set up a little tent, little table, and just real simple, like just, you know, keep it simple. Like maybe I'm just doing pulled pork sandwiches,
yeah.
You know, just, hey, a few bucks for a pulled pork sandwich. And gotta start thinking outside the box, because God knows when we'll get to tour again. So,
well, yeah, I mean, you're down the street from some bar. I don't know if Long Beach is open, but, well, hey man, we had an hour. We didn't even talk about the ghost. We were going to talk about ghosts this week. We didn't talk about the ghosts.
No, I actually had a topic today, and I won't reveal it. Maybe we'll do it next. We'll save it for next week. But I had a good little ghost topic. But hey man, you know, we're just time flies when you're talking shit.
Yeah, buddy. Well, we got. I mean, even before this, like, all right, we're going to talk about these ghosts. We're going to talk about how Dave wants to move to Europe, and we didn't even get to none of it.
Yeah, didn't even get to that. Yeah, I'm going to move to Portugal soon, I think. I got a lot of plans.
Dave in Portugal.
Mm-hmm.
Dave's only learned three culinary terms his entire 6 months there, yet they're already printing his face on the money.
They love pig. They love pork in Portugal.
Oh boy,
so,
I was still getting that. Well, that was Spain, but I was still getting that Iberico ham.
Oh, God. What part of Spain did you go to, by the way?
We were in Barcelona.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. No, Barcelona. Portugal or San Sebastian,
yeah,
which I think is in Basque country. Those are the two places I'm looking at. Basically coastal Spain, somewhere on the coast of Spain.
I was going to break edge. My buddy Joe wanted to do just a ham tour through Spain. Like, basically just get pals, just go eat ham throughout Spain. I'm like, I'll do that. I will do that.
Oh, God.
The restaurant, like, or the stores, like, not delis, but I don't know what they were calling them, the hamaterias or whatever, but they had, like, the leg would be on its own mount. Like, you saw the hoof on it. But the leg would be on its own mount in the window, and then they would just slowly cut it so they could get it as thin as possible. So it was on its own, like, you know, this weird, like, mount with screws, so it was held firm, and then they could get it thin, like, slices as thin as possible.
Yeah, that's some good
so
stuff.
So I almost fought that fucker at the customs when they confiscated it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's worth getting in a fight over. You know what I'm cooking tomorrow, man?
What you getting into?
I told you about my mail order grits. I got some mail order grits. I still got those. Got a hold of some catfish fillets. I'm going to do catfish and grits and turnip greens tomorrow.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah.
Fried it up, fried catfish.
Yeah, a little soul food action.
Ooh, yeah, I'm still on them fish, man. I can't. Fish are still dumb enough to me that I'll eat them. did we talk about that on the last episode? That whole idea, like
what?
People like thinking the idea of salmon swimming upstream just to give birth in the place where they were born. Like, oh, it's what a conquest of the spirit. I'm like, that means they're fucking dumb. That's a dumb fish to make its life more difficult than it needs to be. Mm-hmm. Just to pop out 1,000 eggs upstream. You're an idiot. You're a dumb fish, and I'll eat you
with
butter and a smile.
Mm. I'm going to start doing a bunch of fish over here, too, on the smoker. I'm doing the catfish just in the pan, but we get a hold of some swordfish, maybe some snapper, some group or something, start throwing that shit on the smoker. Oh, boy. Oh, boy, Kyle.
I wish I'd just been eating all that. We went to Taco Time the other day. That's not nearly as exciting as what you're doing, but they have Taco Time up here. I had a veggie burrito that had sunflower seeds in it. I thought it was just uncooked rice. That's my big culinary adventure, Dave. I had a hippie Northwest veggie burrito from Taco Time. As we all know,
I had
Taco Time is a flat tortilla, Dave. Fifth time I've made that joke. You're the only one to laugh
at
it.
That's a good one. I like it. I like
it. I almost got kicked out of the car in the drive-thru for making that joke. I was driving.
Oh, man. You ever fuck with a cheese sandwich?
Fuck with?
You ever mess with a cheese sandwich?
I'll slow dance with a cheese sandwich, Dave.
Oh man, I had a cheese sandwich the other day. Had a nice got some nice Wonder Bread.
We sound like old prisoners. We sound like the oldest dudes on cell block D just trying to come up with something to discuss.
You ever fuck with a cheese sandwich? I was thinking about you because it was so tasty, and I was like, most of the time I'm eating something tasty, I'm like, well, Kyle can't eat this, but I was like, this is something Kyle could enjoy.
Well, I appreciate it, man. Yeah, I do fuck with a cheese sandwich.
I had Wonder Bread, Colby Jack, spicy pickles, and raw onion and mayo. And it was a good time. I had a good time with the cheese sandwich.
When it's just like, how stinky can I make this? Because absolutely. That was a challenge. Speaking of being up in the Northwest, there's a place called Big Ass Sandwiches in Portland that I believe is no longer.
Yes. Are they the ones that made a sandwich in your honor?
They would, like a headliner coming through Helium, like they would let them design a sandwich. So I'm like, I wanted to make this nastiest sandwich I could make. And they still like, they're like,
what was yours?
Mine was like, it was like liverwurst, and I wanted to get Limburger cheese, but they couldn't get like Limburger is really expensive and actually somewhat rare, I guess. But some other smelly ass cheese and a brown mustard, and they still made it good. But it was like, I want it to be funky. And I love, like cheese and onions. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's great. Do you get that Duke's on there?
Oh, yeah. Get the Duke's. Yeah, yeah. Got the raw onion. Got the spicy pickles. Got the Colby Jack. Oh, boy. It was a good time. That was an episode of Curb where Adeli made a Larry David sandwich, but he didn't like the sandwich, and he was trying to trade his sandwich with Ted Danson. You know, his was like I forgot what his was. It was like white fish and a couple. It was just a real fishy sandwich. Like I appreciate you making a sandwich in my honor, but this is pretty gross.
Yeah, man, skunk it up, Roquefort cheese.
Mm.
Is it? Yeah, the skunkier the better with cheese and that kind of stuff. Mm. But yeah, thanks for thinking of me, man. I do enjoy cheese.
Yeah, man.
I've been just doing classic tuna fish over here. Can of tuna.
Oh, yeah?
Bunch of, don't have the Duke's mayo, but I got some avocado oil hippie mayonnaise and sweet pickle relish and a couple slices of cheese on it. Yeah, you betcha.
Yeah.
You betcha.
It's a good time.
All right, it's man. Oh, you want to?
Got a comic of the week real quick.
Oh, yeah?
Old buddy, I've done, I used to feature for him a couple of different clubs years ago. Do you know Greg Warren? You know Greg?
I do know. I don't know him personally, but I know who Greg Warren is.
A funny dude. I think started. I think he's a Midwest guy. I think he started in St. Louis, if I'm not mistaken. I think he's based out of New York now. One of those dudes just been around a while and just always delivers the goods. Just solid, solid stuff. He's got a new album out called Where the Field Corn Grows. And it's available now. Greg Warren, W-A-R-R-E-N. And funny dude, nice dude, and just a pro. Just one of those guys just got chops for days.
Yeah.
You know, younger comics who open for him just sit and watch him and learn a thing or two. But a super funny dude, new special, Greg Warren, Where the Field Corn Grows, available now wherever you get your comedy. So look into that. That's our comic of the week.
Nice.
Well, good times, buddy.
All right.
Anything to plug? Oh, yeah, dude. July 24th.
Yeah.
Trampoline in a Ditch.
Yeah, my dumb old crap is coming out there.
And I know XM streaming it. Is that still going on? What are the dates on the little teaser
this,
streams?
Now I think the next big one coming up is it'll be on Spotify this weekend, I think. And then basically next week is when it comes out. It'll just be everywhere on all your streaming platforms and such.
Awesome.
Wherever comedy is sold.
I watch a lot of YouTube here on the actual TV on the Apple TV, mm-hmm. and I don't know how the algorithms work, but a lot of Kyle Kinane been popping up on my YouTube, and I watched a little bit of you and Tommy Chong on Getting Dug with High. That was fucking funny.
Oh, nice! All right, hell yeah, man! That was a weird one, man. Old Tommy Chong was hard to like follow his mind. Mm-hmm. Not because it was light years quicker than mine. I'm not saying it that way either. Well, man, I rubbed weed oil on my face. It cured my cancer. All right. Well, I'm high as shit, and I think you're full of it, but you're also Tommy Chong, so I'm just going to sit over here in a corner and be terrified of the world around me.
Oh, man. And Hey Girl. Every Friday, right?
Hey,
5 o'clock.
Hey Girls Friday over at holdthephone.tv.
Right on.
What about you? What's going on with you, man? Just out on the stoop, selling yeah. sandwiches. Stoneberg's is
yeah,
happening.
Yeah. Stoneberg's every Monday, and hopefully stop by my barbecue tent here in Long Beach. I'll have that up and running soon. But yeah, Stoneberg's every Monday. Myself and my fiance, Katie Strandberg, we're still churning out half-cocked advice. People call in, ask us questions, and we do our best to bullshit an answer. And what else? Oh, latest episode, couple weeks old at this point, but The Gravy Boat still going strong over Hell on yeah. SoundCloud.com. Did a 4th of July special a couple weeks ago, and playing some rock and roll, pivoting from the country to the rock and roll just temporarily. So if you need an hour of rock and roll jams, check out Dave Stone's Gravy Boat on SoundCloud.com. But yeah, that's all I have to plug today.
Hell yeah, buddy.
Good catching up, buddy.
It was we got into the darkness and came back into the light.
Yeah, man, and we'll get to some boogie topics eventually.
We were going to do ghosts. We were going to talk about ghosts. We caught up with a Discount Furniture child sex trafficking.
There's just so much going on in real life right now that it's hard to get to to weird topics.
Like, but there very well could be a child sex trafficking ring. Is it run mm-hmm. through a furniture website and a pizza parlor? I do not think it is. Anyway.
I hope not.
All right, buddy.
So, all right, bud. You hold down the fort up there in Oregon, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, you do the same thing.
All right, bud.
The Boogie Monster.
A podcast network.